Our scripture readings today are from Isaiah 40, 1 through 11, and Mark 1, 1 through 8. Please feel free to follow along in your own Bible, Pew Bible, or on the screen. From Isaiah, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.' A voice says, 'Cry out.' And I said, 'What shall I cry?' All people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arms rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead the mother sheep." From Mark, "The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' The word of God for the people of God."
Thanks be to God.
He was a really rare and unusual man. After all, it's not everyone that can survive out in the desert, isolated from all contact and human civilization. It's not everyone who gets to claim that their companions are lizards and scorpions and snakes and those really furry giant sand spiders. It's unusual for a person to live in the desert, to talk to cactuses in the morning and count stars at night, to live in a gigantic sandbox all day long. Would you want to do that? It's not everyone who loves the quietness of the desert, alone with the sounds of the wind and the shifting sands, alone with endless days and nights that seem to go on forever and ever. Of course, this man, he would be a little bit strange, don't you think? So with that in mind, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts in this time and in this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Help us to be bold prophets like John, sharing your light and love in the world. And all God's children said. His total life was totally dedicated to God out there in the desert sands. After all, what else are you going to do in the wilderness? There's no games to play, no people to talk with, no scrolls to read. What else are you going to do in the desert wasteland, night after night, day after day, except talk to God a lot, to be immersed in God. Then strangely, they started to come one by one. Then there were hundreds, and then there were thousands. People coming in to hear this man preach. They would walk 10, 20, 30 miles from their own cities out into the wilderness to listen to this desert prophet. I don't know about you, but I don't think I would walk that far to hear some strange person preach a sermon. But the people came to the desert to hear this person preach. Not because his sermons made them feel good, not because of the really big choirs and all those old favorite hymns that they love to sing, not because they had some desire to see old friends that they hadn't seen all week, and certainly not because of some childhood habit of having to go to the synagogue on Friday nights, a habit that they just couldn't kick. No, they left their cities and their homes, and they walked 20, 30, 40 miles out into the desert because they wanted to see a rare phenomenon. They wanted to see this man that they called John the Baptist, who'd been totally immersed in God. They didn't come to be entertained. They didn't come to hear some fashionable religious wisdom. They came because they wanted to hear the authentic word of God for their life. They wanted to be in the powerful presence of this man filled with God. The people wanted to find what had been found in the desert, what was absent in their life. So they came. They came looking for this authentic God. They came searching for what John the Baptizer had found in the desert himself. The message of the desert prophet was essentially one word: prepare. In the wilderness, prepare. Prepare for the coming of Christ. In the desert, prepare for the coming of the King of Kings. In the wilderness, be washed, be clean, be pure. Your imagination, your heart, your mind, may these be washed clean so that Christ can live and reign in your heart forever. So today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we are challenged to prepare. To prepare once again for light and love to burst forth in the darkness. For light and love, my friends, to reign in our lives. John the Baptist, he knew that he had work to do. He had to prepare the way for the one whose way would become the only way. This is a time before the disciples of Jesus or the disciples of John. So John, he struck out alone before anyone else had come on to the story. I think we need to remember that John's father was struck dumb for the whole of his wife Elizabeth's pregnancy because he was unable to believe that Elizabeth was pregnant with the story before the story. They were old, after all, and I think maybe they forgot the story of Abraham and Sarah. Along with Mary and her quietly pondering heart, the 9-month silencing of John's father, Zechariah, probably adds to the significant weight to our belief that Advent is supposed to be a time of where we contemplate, where we sit in quiet and silence. If you want to keep Advent, we tend to think that it's essential that you wait with an expectant heart once again to hold your breath for the birth of this baby. But I think if we believe that this is the case, that Advent is the quiet season of reflection, then we might need to reconsider John the Baptist. Because I believe that John the Baptist is not known for keeping the volume down. He's a shouter. He's a crying out loud prophet. He's a make straight in the way what has been crooked kind of preacher. For John the Baptist to be the beginning for the beginning, there is no doubt that something has already begun in this story. Advent might be a quiet season, but that's only likely true if you stand at a distance away from John. Otherwise, We've got to claim this peace of Pentecost, a Pentecost of one person, one man, possessing every tongue necessary to let you know what time it is to prepare once again for the way of the Lord. And we have a part to play in preparing the world to receive light in the darkness. A prophet out in the wilderness making a ruckus with cries and a path straightening is bound to draw a crowd. Once the crowd shows up and hears this prophet preacher, crowds from the countryside and the city, they are going to get themselves baptized by John. It'd be easy for everyone involved to believe that John is the one that we've been waiting on for so long. This moment in the wilderness with John, it must be a fulfillment. But John chooses to correct our thinking. He says to them, "You think this is the end of the story? You think this is the power of God? My brothers and sisters, this is only the beginning. I come with water, but one is coming with the true power of God, and he will wash the Spirit over all of us." You see, the people, they had begun to lose hope because God had been silent for so long. They believed that they were at the end of their story, that the story was going to end in silence from heaven, in this sense of abandonment. People waiting for the Lord to show up. And John shouts, "The day of the Lord is coming. Prepare." It's not a time to whisper, my friends. It's a time to shout. If someone asks you what church you attend, I hope that you go out from this place and you tell them you attend a shouting church. First United Methodist Church of Coppell, South Hertz, Bethel School. Can you imagine if they were to look at us and say, "Look at that church"? Tell them you're a shouting Adventist in the line of John the Baptist, that the words that we offer here are comforting words, but they're words that we cry out to be heard over all those crooked paths and loud noises of despair that seem to hold us in this world. The world needs to hear from us, the church, the cries and the calls that Advent has begun, and the wilderness is going to be filling up once again with light and love that is only found in the saving grace of Christ. We must offer ourselves to a deepening commitment of relationship to Jesus if we are truly light and love, as we claim that we are children of the light. We're to take this light of Christ into the world. We are to help point the way to Christ, just as John the Baptist did. Philip Keller is a writer, and he's a shepherd. He compares our life drama to the life of a sheep. He says that some of us really find it hard to follow the shepherd, Jesus. And I must confess, I claim that. It's hard for me to follow this shepherd, Jesus. You know, I don't think that we want to be led in the paths of righteousness. Somehow I think it just rubs against the grain of who we are. We actually prefer to turn to our own way, even though it may take us straight into trouble. John's call to repent echoes through the ages to us today. As John set his life on a path to make straight the way for others, we're called to do the same. Jesus tells us time and time again that the greatest of the commandments of all the laws is the law of love, the law of concern for those that are around us. We have an obligation to all those around us to take the skills, the resources that we have, and make the path straight for others to reach the kingdom by pointing the way to Jesus. This is why it's crucial that each of us give of ourselves beyond simply just coming and attending church every week. We're called to in all things, in word and deed, prayer and action, by what we say and we do, share the Christ story, and thereby draw others to know the saving grace of God. We are the gospel, living it out in the world. Corrie ten Boom was an evangelist from the Netherlands who spent years in the Ravensbrück concentration camp under Hitler. She wrote this simple line that pushes us into a place that God calls us to be in the Advent season. She wrote, "Put yourself, your ability, your money, all of it, all of who you are, at God's disposal. God can do much more with you than you can ever imagine." We are to be light and love in the world. We're to proclaim the good news and point the way to Christ, just as John the Baptist did. So how are we doing, church? Although every Christian is not called to be a minister or a missionary, God does intend every Christian to be a witness for Christ. At home, among our friends, at college, at work, wherever we are, it is our solemn responsibility to live a consistent, loving, humble, honest, Christ-like life, to seek to share God's message with others, to be light in the world. I believe we as a church, we do this best by being light and love in the work and the ministries that we do, like Coppell Cares, where we partner with schools to help meet unmet needs for students, where we're reading buddies, where we're friends and companions and walk along that journey of education week after week. I think we do that best with the Coppell Cares work that we do in the community and the city. When the city calls us and says, hey, we have this family that needs a wheelchair ramp. They can't get out of their home. Can you come and help? And all the people that step up to make those things possible. That's being light and love in the world. I think we do that really well when we go each week down to Austin Street to feed those that are a part of Austin Street Center, and Christmas Eve, where we have the opportunity for all of us to bake the breakfast casseroles and to go down and sing Christmas carols and to enjoy food and fellowship together there at Austin Street Center. There's so much more that we do where we are light and love in the world. John the Baptist calls us to be and walk alongside each other, to build paths for each other, all the while allowing Christ to increase in us so that Christ increases in the world. Our repentance, our prayers, our study of the scripture, our participation in the sacraments, the use of our gifts in service and evangelism, because believe it or not, your life preaches. All of these are vital to the preparation of the coming of God's kingdom. This Advent tells us to prepare once again. So here we have it from John the Baptist. It begs us to consider once again, prepare. May we commit a life of living that reflects Christ's light and love to others in the world. In the end, the call seems to say our lives were not created to be our own. They're created to be a glorious celebration, to be shared with our parents, our children, our friends, our spouses, and even the stranger that we encounter. John the Baptist, he spent his entire life preparing for the coming of another, and we're called to do the same. So I thought about this and I reflected on this. Yesterday we had this opportunity to be in the parade that we had in the community of Coppell, and one of our participants, Caroline, she's over there kind of smiling, she gets it. She was John the Baptist last night, and I hope that we can all be like her. As she was handing out these cards with the invitation to come on Christmas Eve, it had this little sucker on it. You know, people were like taking them. And here's Caroline. She's saying, here, have some Jesus. My friends, that's what we're supposed to do in the world. We're supposed to go out like John the Baptist to whisper, to say, go a little bit deeper. Don't settle for second best if you want to live in this Christmas story. I hope that we all join John the Baptist, and I hope we find the courage to be like Caroline, to tell people, hey, here's a little bit of Jesus. I hope that you'll come with me and experience this. So, on this day, as we reflect on this day of John the Baptist, today may we prepare by going into the desert places of our lives once again, our hearts, our imaginations, our thoughts. It's only when one is cleaned in the desert that Christ comes to live within and we commit to being light and love. So today we have an opportunity to come and remember our baptism that John the Baptist calls us to remember our baptism and be thankful, to claim once again that we are children of the light. We are God's beloved children. So, merciful God, who sent your messengers like John the Baptist to preach repentance and prepare the way of salvation, give each one of us grace so that we may greet with joy the coming of Christ Jesus, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with each one of us. And all God's children said,